in.
Call the August 2nd Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayor.
Present.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is item B. Well, it's actually the second. Item B, citizens' comment period. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on any matter? Any citizen wishing to speak? Any citizen wishing to speak? Seeing no one rise, close the citizen comment period. We move on to item C, the approval of the meeting minutes for the regular Common Council meeting of July 19th. Any additions or corrections? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We have no hearings. We have no organizational business, no letters and petitions. Move on to item G1, donation from PennSec, that being our McDonald's.
Motion to accept the donation.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. I do know that the chief is good about sending thank you notes. Move on to item G2, a presentation by Diane Settlemeyer. She is the program coordinator on the Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program. You want to introduce her, Alderman?
Sure. Thank you, Your Honor. Diane and I met probably a month, 2 months ago maybe, to have a little conversation about a service that Milwaukee County offers to all of its residents, and that this part of the county is kind of been maybe left out a little bit because we haven't done the greatest job of advertising to our residents, and we know we have some that qualify. And so it's an effort that they came to me and asked if I would assist. And so they're here tonight to give a little presentation, and we can talk about what kind of options we have moving forward. They'll be doing the same thing in Oak Creek. I've set up a date for Diane with Mayor Scafidi for 2 weeks from now, and I'll be working with Village President Rich in Hales Corners. So we're the first, and hopefully we'll be able to get this out there to our residents, and they can take advantage of this what Milwaukee County has to offer.
Thank you, and good evening. Thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. As Alderman Taylor said, I have been the coordinator for the Energy Assistance Program for the past 4 years. And you're probably asking, what exactly is energy assistance? Energy assistance is a state and federally funded program that provides qualified Milwaukee County residents with a one-time annual payment during the heating season to make heating and electric bills more affordable. Eligibility is based on several factors, including the size of the home, the heating source, the family size, and the gross income. So to give you an example, a family of four can have almost $50,000 in annual income to qualify for this program. Someone like Reza, who is one of your Franklin residents that I spoke with this week, she's a single mother of three with an annual income of $31,000. Her benefit this past year was $463. It covered over 26% of her annual heating bill with We Energies. Milwaukee County, that falls right in the norm. The average benefit's about $450 for the heating season, so it can cover two, sometimes even three or more months of the utility costs. And Reza is just one of over 56,000 people we assisted this year. This was actually a record year for us. Milwaukee County processed over 27% of the applications in the entire state. That's up from our historic 22%. And we've taken almost 65,000 applications this year and provided over $31 million in benefits to Milwaukee County residents. These are some of the best numbers we've had in the past 7 years, and I'm very proud of what my staff accomplished. We did things a little different, so I want to tell you about what we do with our program. We focused on three simple tenets in the program: treat people with dignity and respect, provide access to the program for people, and act like a business and treat people like their customers, winning them over. We offered one central phone number so people can make one call and get all the information they need or make an appointment. We offered sites throughout the county this year so people could apply close to their home or their job. We offered standardized hours at all of our sites and extended hours during the busy season so people could come in when it was convenient for them. We offered appointments for the first time so people could come in, again, when it was convenient. Over 21,000 people made appointments, and over 77% of those people kept their appointment. And were in and out in about 47.3 minutes, so less than an hour of their day. We offered phone applications, especially for our handicapped and elderly applicants, so they did not need to come in and wait in line for a long time. Similar to one of your residents, Connie, who's wheelchair-bound, she was so grateful to know that she could have a phone call instead of having to go to a different location and try to manage with moving in her wheelchair and having someone take her. So very exciting news. We make customer service and the customer experience our number one priority. And as I said, it's been an overwhelming success this year. But from the census data, we estimate that there are as many as 150,000 households in Milwaukee County that could qualify for this program. So I feel that we still have a lot of work to do. Our new season will start on October 1st. And for the upcoming year, we want to focus on some of the underserved areas in Milwaukee County. And you guessed it, it's Franklin is one of them. In your community of over 14,000 households, only 403 of them applied in the prior season. Doing census data, we found that about 4.3 of your residents are considered low income, and probably another 8 to 12% fall within our program's income limits, which are right about 200% of the federal poverty level. What that means is that there's about 1,700 to 2,200 households that could have had it a little bit easier this year. I can see some of you are thinking about the math. $450 average benefit, 1,800 additional households, that's like $800,000 in your community. But to get to these people, we have a few hurdles to cross. Number one is information. Many people don't know about this program. They think you need to be unemployed or disconnected to get assistance, and that's not true. We need to get the right information out to the community about the eligibility criteria. We need to let them know this program is for everyone. What the income limits are, that they can be working, that this is for the moms and dads, our family on fixed incomes. This is for our kids who are just starting out and have families. And this is for the hardworking people of this community who are just trying to make ends meet. Other hurdle is the old urban legend. I know if you've heard about energy assistance, you've probably heard this. It wasn't too long ago that people had to wait in line. It was like Punchka Day at National Bakery with the line going around the block. I said, not on my watch. So we got rid of the lines, we made the appointments, the call center, all of those things I just told you about. And we want to let people know that it's very easy and very quick to apply. The third thing is access. Right now, the nearest site to your community is about 12 miles away over on Chase. In the next season, we're planning to open another site through UMOS on South 27th Street. It would cut the distance in half, so it would be right on the edge of your community. And we're looking for other ways to promote that new site within this community so people know it's close by. We would like to work with you to inform your community about the program, to develop ways to reach out to your community, and to provide access to your community. We'd like to make the information available throughout the city, including energy assistance information as a regular part of your city's communications, to be able to put it on your city's website, in your mailings, and in your aldermanic communications. We'd like to provide the flyers so that they can be available at City Hall, the police and fire departments, at your schools, or wherever else you'd like them. In fact, we've brought this season's flyers and some pens with the phone number for your constituents so you can have those immediately. And we'd like to see maybe even sponsor an event so we can come to Franklin and take applications if that's something that you'd like. If there's one thing I've learned in my 24 years in the county is that it takes partnerships between the communities, between businesses, and between the governments to be truly successful in administering the program like this. It's not just me, it's not my staff, it's all of us working together within Milwaukee County and each of these municipalities. And I'd like to see the people of Franklin really benefit from this program. We've already developed many of the tools, the newsletters, the broadcasts, the things you can put on your Facebook page, and we'd like to help you customize them and deploy them for this community and the others on the south side of Milwaukee. And I'm hoping that we can work together to may have an impact on this with us in Franklin. Thank you.
3 minutes, 38 seconds.
She was quicker than she said. She said 4 minutes, and 23 was it?
I didn't time.
Oh, that was pretty good.
I thought I had a record.
No, you did well.
Yeah.
I do have a couple of questions. First of all, your contact here at the city, in addition to the Alderman Taylor, would be Bill Wooker.
Okay.
Bill is our health officer. He also is in charge of social services for us. So he will be most helpful to you. He also has contact with those who qualify as below the poverty line. He knows those people. So he would be happy to help. I don't think I'd get any objections to including the flyer in the next newsletter, which is
August 24th.
August 26th is when the deadline is.
So we need it.
Prior to that.
Yeah.
They had the date.
That's with the condition that you and I talked about outside.
Right.
Which is as long as the cost.
If it doesn't kick us in the next rate class, we'll put it in for nothing.
So very thin paper.
Or not very thick paper, whatever.
Or you have a budget to cover that, I'm assuming.
Energy assistance is great, but that's only half the equation. There's also, I believe, another program in the county that does energy assistance with fixing energy problems, insulation, that kind of thing.
There is a weatherization program. It is actually run and administered by the state. In Milwaukee County, we have three agencies that are contracted with the state to provide weatherization. I believe for Franklin, it would be La Casa de Esperanza, which covers some of the suburbs. So they could work with you as well to get information. I know they work on many multifamily units to try to help those apartments be most energy efficient. Their referrals actually come directly from our applications. So if somebody applies, is approved, they go in the list of people that can receive weatherization services, and they look at that to see what kind of energy savings they could do for those households. So it's very much a partnership between us.
That information would be good to be on the back of that flyer. Also, your applications for energy assistance have to happen in person?
No, they can happen over the phone, or we can do them at our sites, or we also do home visits. And like I said, we are expanding our sites so that we're closer to the sites. So we do a lot of outreach events where we go to either some of the senior housing sites. So I know we have several in Franklin that we've gone to in the past. But if you wanted to have an event where our citizens could come, we could even set up a little mini.
We can do
that. They don't let me do applications, you know. Yes.
Talk to Bill.
Bill, yep.
Questions for Ms. Edelmeyer, Alderman Mayer?
Where does your funding come from?
The funding comes from state and federal sources. So the low-income energy assistance program is a federal program, and they give us most of our benefits. But if you ever look on your We Energy bills where it says public benefits, that PB line is what funds the rest of our program.
Okay, so you do get money from the utilities. That was actually going to be my next question. Yep. Then. Okay.
And we partner with them, especially We Energies, a lot to make sure that people can have affordable payment plans and have different opportunities to apply or avoid disconnection.
Thank you. And do you do any follow-up with the families or households that you provide the assistance to? In other words, because of this assistance, they were able to keep their kids warm? I don't know.
We do some surveys, and we do some contact. We obviously don't talk to all 56,000, though some days I think I'd really love to. But we do. They also can come in for crisis assistance. So sometimes we see them multiple times in a year, especially if they're facing disconnection or they have other problems. Or even one of our additional programs is furnace services. So if a homeowner's furnace dies during the winter, they can contact us, and if they've been eligible for the energy assistance program, that furnace could be fixed or repaired or replaced for free. So that's another additional benefit of our program.
Thank you.
Alderman Barber.
We have some health care events coming up, and I know the Department of Aging has been there in the past and serves our community. Would that be something that you could plug into, and maybe Bill can get you set up with
yes.
that as far as...
we'd love to participate in...
just about the time that the heating season will be starting, and that would be not maybe something.
Not too soon, I hope.
Oh, well, we're going to hold off as long as possible, yeah. But that might be an event right. that is coming up around the corner here, so...
Definitely.
Anyone else?
Your Honor, I'll make a motion to receive and place on file.
Thank you.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Bill Wooker.
I'll get you. I'll send you that.
Thank you.
Thank
you
for this information.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Ms. Kane. Well done. Move on to item G3, concept review for proposed mixed-use development on a property located at 7333 South 27th Street. Mike? Come on. Joel, do you want to do an introduction?
As you can see, the one of the maps from the applicants are up on the screen shows the approximate area where this development's proposed. So this is on 27th Street, south of Minnesota Avenue. Minnesota Avenue's on the top, immediately west of 27th Street. Platt Construction is immediately to the south, and Platt Construction is a little bit north of Northwestern Mutual. So this is an approximately 18-acre parcel. Nothing's developed on it right now. They're proposing a multifamily development. You can see the six buildings there. Three-story buildings, 30 units each. Again, this is very preliminary concept review type project. Underground parking, some parking lots, and pool community building, and then also proposing two-acre lots fronting on 27th Street that could be reserved for commercial purposes. This area is planned B4 commercial. It's zoned B4 commercial, planned for mixed use. Comprehensive master plan standpoint, it's just generic mixed use. So a project like this would not need to amend the comprehensive master plan. We probably have to do a rezoning. All multifamily residential development in the city is a special use, so we have to do special use at the same time as a rezoning. 27th Street standards would apply unless that was changed. And then the applicants are here to go into project in more detail. It's also located in the TIF number 3.
Yes.
And that's associated with Northwestern Mutual and the surrounding lands, including this property. So they'll be asking questions about that as well.
Great, thank you. Unrelated, but we've used that La Casa weatherization program on one of our multifamily properties, and they do a great job.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Mike King. This is Kevin Mance. We are both with Zilber Limited. Zilber Limited is a privately held real estate company that was founded by Joe Zilber in 1949. Joe Zilber passed away in 2010. And now Zilber Limited is owned by the Zilber Family Foundation. We are a for-profit company, but we use our earnings to fund the foundation's charitable efforts as well as continuing to grow the company. We're here tonight to discuss and get the council's input on our mixed-use development proposal for 7333 South 27th Street. It's a 18-acre infill parcel, at one time planned for a YMCA. In designing this project, our goals were to maximize the value of the property, create the commercial development the city desires along 27th Street, and be an appropriate transitional use between the single-family homes along Minnesota and the existing commercial property to the south. We will develop two commercial parcels along the 27th Street frontage, which is on the right side of that site plan, and 180 market rate apartments between the commercial parcels and 31st Street. Joel already mentioned the zoning, so I won't repeat that. The market rate apartments will be developed in 6 three-story buildings with underground parking. They will be a mix of 1- and 2-bedroom units with projected average rents of $1,100 for a 1-bedroom and $1,400 for a 2-bedroom. The commercial parcels will be 2 acres in size each. They're similar in depth to the light industrial building, Platt Construction, and the multi-tenant commercial building, which is not shown on this site plan, but just to the south of Platt Construction. We have interest from a daycare operator for the southerly site, and we have had some interest from a restaurant operator. The commercial sites could also be appropriate for an insurance office, a dentist office, veterinary clinic, or other similar uses. We've had several discussions with Northwestern Mutual about our proposal. They have received copies of the site plan. They do not publicly support other developments, but they have verbalized to us that market rate apartments and a daycare center in close proximity to their campus would be considered an amenity for them. In addition, they are not opposed to our plan in any way. At this time, Kevin Mance, who is the president of our design division, will highlight some of the design features we've put into the development.
Great. Thank you, Mike. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Just flip to the next perspective here. Great. Thank you. Well, we've gone through some of the site information through Joel and Mike, and at this point we are in front of you for a conceptual review. We would like as much feedback on the plan and concept as possible, so feel free to ask questions. In general, we have been working on a site plan and versions of a site plan for the last several months. We've had some preliminary meetings with staff, and we've taken those comments and feedback and incorporated it into the site plan that we're presenting here to you tonight, which we feel does a good job of balancing not only our project goals on site, but also at the same time is very sensitive to the environmental features on site and what we feel is a sensitive design and response to the neighboring residential areas as well.
For the people in the audience, let me orient you. This is 31st Street. This is Northwestern Mutual, 27th Street, Minnesota Avenue, just so you get an orientation, because it's different than the original slide.
Correct. Thank you. The proposed density that we're showing of 180 units is between 12 and 13 units per acre. The proposed density allows for a significant increase in the city's requirement for open space and distance between buildings and the neighboring properties. Open space on this design is approximately 10 acres, which is over 70% of the residential parcel. That is over twice the standard or the city criteria for multifamily developments. The majority of that open space is around the perimeter of the project, which allows us to keep as much of the natural topography as possible to allow us to keep the tree lines and as much of that vegetation. In addition, we would be adding landscaping to further enhance those buffers so that they would provide year-round screening. The building setbacks from the property line along the north range from 60 feet to 123 feet, on the western border 106 to 255, and on the southern border 67 to 132 feet. So on average, we're 4 to 5 times the required side, rear, and front setbacks for residential multifamily product. The site layout also provides a new roadway that connects 27th Street and 31st Street. We believe this will significantly reduce, if not eliminate, any additional traffic on Minnesota Avenue. In addition, this layout provides for building activity and parking activity as well as street lighting to be focused away from neighboring properties. And it also allows us to maximize green space around the buildings, around the site, and minimizes the amount of paving from excess circulation and impervious area on the site. As mentioned, 6 30-unit buildings, 3 stories in height, all with underground parking. One important feature we believe is that these buildings will be designed with flat roofs, meaning that the total height of this building will be very similar to a single-family, two-story home with a pitched roof, somewhere in the 30 to 34-foot range, depending on the actual grade. About a 3,000-square-foot recreation building that will have computer facilities, entertainment room, exercise area, and then an open outdoor area with summer kitchen centrally located within the site. We've done some preliminary civil engineering work on site design and utilities. The plan would be for the residential buildings to be connected to the infrastructure in 31st Street, and then the two commercial parcels will be connected to the infrastructure that runs along 27th Street. And then with the significant amount of open area we have on site, all stormwater will be managed on site and to city and DNR requirements. In addition, I think it's worth mentioning that Epstein Ewan Architects is our design partner on this project. I'm sure most of you are familiar with other projects they've done in the city of Franklin. We've worked with Greg and his team for many years, and we are very confident that this project will be very attractive something we can all be proud of. In summary, our proposal is consistent with the current zoning and the future land use recommendations. We also believe that this proposal is a well-thought-out transition between the single-family to the north and the commercial to the south. And with that, I'd like to turn it back over to Mike.
Thanks, Kevin. As we've mentioned, you know, we really designed this to be a good neighbor and an appropriate transitional use for this site. To help gauge the reaction of the residents to this plan, with the assistance of Alderwoman Wilhelm, we held a neighborhood meeting on July 14th. We invited the 35 households who live along Minnesota, both on both sides of 31st Street. Approximately 30 individuals attended the meeting. Reaction to the plan was generally positive. There was one gentleman who questioned the impact of the development on neighboring home values. Other than that, the residents were supportive of our efforts to keep the building heights well below the zoning maximums and keep the buildings significantly farther from lot lines than the required zoning minimums. If this project does move forward, we will continue to include those residents in the process through ongoing communication. In order for this development to be economically viable, this project does require city TIF funding. Construction costs have been rising faster than residential rents, requiring assistance to create the access road, improve the site, and to develop the commercial parcels along with other elements of the development. This project is an excellent candidate for TIF funding. On its own, the development will add $25 to $30 million to Franklin's tax base. Beyond that, though, development leads to additional development, and the additional rooftops lead to additional demand for commercial and retail uses. What we feel the South 27th Street corridor needs is something to really jumpstart the development cycle, and we feel that we can achieve that with this project. The site is within the existing boundaries of Tax Incremental District Number 3, as mentioned, so a new district would not need to be created. Per the December 2015 cash flow report for this district, stated that there will be $80 million of increment within the district in 2018. That, added to the assessed value created by this development, the district could have $105 million or more in increment, generating approximately $2.5 million per year in taxes that could be used to pay down our TIF borrowings in just a few years. As a result, the risk to the city to create this additional $25 or $30 million in new tax base is significantly lower than it would be for a project in a newly created TIF district. We believe the primary alternative for this site would be a much slower development of smaller portions of the site for commercial use, something along the lines of the multi-tenant building located to the south of Platt Construction. If you can show, it's, yep, right there. As we understand it, that development took a significant number of years to lease up,